Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Today's message is going to be based on this verse found in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. My dear brothers and sisters, there is a profound truth we need to grasp today. One that transforms how we understand our walk with God. Many of us have grown up hearing about getting saved or accepting Jesus into our hearts. While these concepts aren't wrong, they're just the beginning of a much grander story. Before I continue, let me pause here to pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me today, that the ears of the hearers will be open, and that you would open the understanding of their hearts. Let me impart this message with your heart in mind, that they may hear your heart and your love for them and the whole earth. We love you, Lord, and we want to fulfill our purpose, our destiny, and this message speaks to it in a very profound and basic way. Speak through me, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Let's pause for another minute and consider the weight of this verse. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Today, 42% of the world's population, that's 3 to 4 billion people, have never heard of Yeshua or his gospel. Among the world's people groups, 7,186 are considered unreached, representing 41.6% of all people groups. Even more sobering is the fact that only 3% of missionaries go to these unreached places, while 97% work in areas that have already heard the gospel. But the gospel that they've heard is not the gospel of the kingdom, it's the gospel of the cross. So how much more lacking in the world is the gospel of the kingdom being preached? These statistics tell us two critical things. First, we haven't yet fulfilled Yeshua's prophecy about the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all nations. We haven't even fulfilled the preaching of the gospel of the cross. Second, and perhaps more importantly, we need to understand exactly what this gospel of the kingdom is. Because if we're going to share it with the world, we must first grasp its full understanding ourselves. And it's not the gospel of the cross. Don't get me wrong. Yeshua told us, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved," in John 10:9. But here's where many of us stop. We preach the gospel of the door, the gospel of Yeshua, and we tell people how to enter into the kingdom. We treat salvation like a spiritual transaction, our sins for his forgiveness. And then we sit back waiting for our heavenly reward. We reduce the magnificent gospel of the kingdom to mere fire insurance. But Yeshua didn't just come to give us an escape plan from hell. He came proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," in Matthew 4:17. This wasn't just about future salvation. It was about a present reality breaking into our world. The gospel of the cross and the gospel of the kingdom are not competing messages. They're complementary. The cross is the entry point, the door through which we must pass. It's where our sins are forgiven, where we're reconciled to the Father. This is essential and foundational. But the kingdom? That's the vast territory beyond the door. It's where we learn to live as citizens of heaven while still on earth. It's where we experience the reality that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 14:17. When Yeshua taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," in Matthew 6:10, he wasn't just giving us words to recite. He was revealing our mission. We're not meant to simply endure this life while waiting to fly away, oh glory. We're meant to be agents of kingdom transformation right here, right now. Consider these practical ways we can live and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Demonstrate kingdom authority. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is in Matthew 10:8. The kingdom isn't just words, it's power. We're called to demonstrate the reality of God's reign through supernatural ministry. We're supposed to practice kingdom justice. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's in Micah 6:8. Kingdom citizens actively work for justice and show mercy. We build kingdom community. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, in John 13:35. The kingdom is expressed through transformed relationships and community life, where we come together as a church family and love one another, truly love one another, not just by smiling on Sunday morning, but by making friends and doing life together Monday through Saturday as well. If you're just gathering together in the church building for a couple hours on Sunday morning and telling those you meet with, "I love you," but you ignore them the rest of the week, you are a liar. Yes, I'm being harsh. You are a liar. You cannot love somebody and ignore them. If they are in need, where are you? If they're having an event, where are you? Are you too busy? Are you too wrapped up in your own life? I'm sorry if this meddles with your life. I know we're all busy, but it doesn't take long to pick up the phone and make a phone call. Or if you're connected on Facebook, just pop them a message in Facebook Messenger. "Hey, thinking about you today, praying for you. How are you doing? Do you need anything? How's life going?" 5 minutes. "Oh, you're having a party? You're having an event? Let me schedule that. How about next time? If I can't this time, how about next time you give me a little bit more heads up and I will do my best to attend? Because you are valuable. You are important. And if you're going to go through the effort of creating an event and cooking and cleaning and preparing the atmosphere, I'm going to come and participate. If you're not feeling well, I do love you enough to come over and clean your house for you because you need to rest. Let me cook you some soup or make something for you or help you out with something." Yes, you need to make time for your brothers and sisters. If they're going to be family and you're going to tell them you love them indeed. That means action. Action speaks louder than words. If you are never around outside of the 2 hours on Sunday morning, I am never going to believe that you truly love me. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. That's what I believe. You need to be there for people, to rejoice with them when they rejoice, to mourn with them when they mourn. This is what we're instructed to do in the Bible. If you're just going to show up on Sunday morning and spend 5 minutes saying hi and saying you love them, I'm sorry, you're lying. That's not love. We exercise kingdom stewardship. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's in Matthew 6:33. This includes how we manage our resources, care for creation, and conduct business. I've been in business since I was 10 years old, and I am now 61. And I have to say, so-called Christian businesses in this world today are appalling. You call yourself a Christian business, but then you cheat and you misuse your customers and your employees. You don't model good Christian principles. Now, I'm sure there's some good Christian businesses out there, but a lot of them are not good Christian businesses. When I was in business decades ago, and I had a print brokering business called Unicorn Desktop Publishing, many of my customers said they didn't want to do business with Christians because Christians were the worst people to do business with. So I didn't advertise that I was a Christian. I was not a Christian business. I was just me doing business. And I did my job and the best that I could do. I did an excellent job. And when I closed my business down and chose to raise my son and homeschool him, for 2 years, they were begging me to come back because they couldn't find anyone that could do the job as well as I did it, that I treated them with honor. I treated them with respect. I charged a fair price. I was on time and I did excellent job. And they had a hard time finding someone to replace me. And they were begging me for 2 years to come back. That's how we do business as a child of God, because we must do all things as unto God and bring honor and glory to the Lord in all that we do. And so when we exercise good kingdom stewardship and manage our time and resources and businesses properly, we bring honor and glory to God. We advance his kingdom because people have an opportunity to look at how we conduct our lives, and they see how we good stewards are, and then they ask, wow, how can you do such a great business? How do you do that? I want to learn how to do business from you. And then you have the open door to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And I did that in my business, Unicorn Desktop Publishing. I had a guy I led to the Lord in my office. And the way he did it was I answered one of the questions that he had that nobody else can answer. He said, I always had this question and nobody could give me a good answer. And I like, well, I can give you a good answer to that. And I gave him a good answer. And because I was able to answer his question, he gave his life to the Lord. So we use our businesses to spread the gospel, to spread the kingdom. And I helped a lot of people in my business. And God told me in business, as long as you make it about him, the money would come in, the customers would come, and the finances would flow. But if you try to make it about making money, then the business would die. So that's, we seek the kingdom first, right? Because it's about the kingdom. Too often we've spiritualized the kingdom into something that only happens after we die. But Yeshua said, the kingdom of God is within you in Luke 17:21. It's not just a future hope. It's a present reality. When we grasp this truth, Everything changes. Our workplaces become mission fields for kingdom influence, whether you're in business for yourself or working for someone else. Our homes become embassies of heaven's culture. Our relationships become opportunities to demonstrate kingdom principles. Brothers and sisters, time to expand our vision beyond personal salvation. Yes, the cross is central. It's where our kingdom journey begins. But Yeshua is calling us to embrace and demonstrate the full gospel of the kingdom. Let's be people who pray for the sick, expecting healing. Forgive radically as we've been forgiven. Share our resources as kingdom stewards. Speak truth with grace and authority. Love sacrificially as Yeshua loved us. Remember, we're not just waiting for a future kingdom. We're representing a present king. Every time we choose to love over hate, peace over conflict, generosity over greed, we're making that prayer real. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we be faithful in carrying out this full gospel, not just the message of escape from earth, but the message of heaven invading earth through yielded vessels like you and me. And that means in the church as well as outside the church. Let's take a few minutes to understand Matthew 24, 7 through 9. I want to help you see why the any moment rapture theology misses critical signs. Let's examine Matthew 24, 7 and 9 in Yeshua's own words. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This passage, along with Matthew 24:14, which we discussed earlier, provides clear sequential markers that must occur before Yeshua's return. Let's break this down. While the Jesus could come back any moment teaching isn't aligned with scripture. It's not. There are required prerequisites that haven't yet been fulfilled. As we've established, 42% of the world's population has never heard the gospel. Matthew 24:14 clearly states the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations before the end comes. This just hasn't happened yet. There are specific patterns of global conflict. Matthew 24:7's description of nation rising against nation in Greek, it's ethnos against ethnos, speaking of ethnic conflicts on a global scale. While we've seen many wars, the specific pattern described here suggests a level of worldwide ethnic conflict that serves as a recognizable sign. There's worldwide persecution. Verse 9 specifically states that believers will be hated by all nations for Yeshua's name. While persecution exists in many places, we haven't yet seen this universal hatred and persecution of believers by all nations simultaneously. Why does this matter? At any moment, theology can be problematic for several reasons. It can lead to passive Christianity. When believers think Yeshua could return at any second, they might be less inclined to engage in long-term ministry planning, invest in generational discipleship, address systemic injustices, work toward fulfilling the Great Commission. They may think, why does it matter? Yeshua will be coming back any day now. He will handle everything. It can create false expectations. Believers might become disillusioned when Yeshua doesn't return during predicted times. It can lead to a focus on escape rather than kingdom advancement. It might prevent Christians from preparing for prophesied difficult times. It can misalign resources. Churches might prioritize short-term thinking over long-term kingdom building. Mission strategies might lack the depth needed for cultural transformation. Discipleship might focus more on heaven readiness than kingdom advancement. And that, to me, is what I've witnessed right there, that last point that I said, that they're more focused on going to heaven than advancing the kingdom. Oh, get your fire insurance papers, say the prayer. Repent, repent, repent. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. Well, that's true, but what about, don't you want to learn to destroy the works of the enemy, which Yeshua told us to do? Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, disciple people, fivefold ministers. You're commanded to train up the saints for the work of the ministry. Not teach them that all they have to do is pray a prayer so they can go to heaven. That's not biblical. Praying a prayer is not even biblical. We are modeled in the book of Acts. It's modeled time after time. Repent and be baptized. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then get discipled and go out and do the work of the ministry. That is the model. Not pray this prayer, now you're going to heaven, now you don't have to worry about anything, just go about your life. But what is the biblical alternative? Instead of an any moment mentality, Scripture calls us to be watchful and prepared. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24:44. This isn't about imminent return, but about constant readiness while actively working. Work for the kingdom advancement. Occupy till I come, says Luke 19:13. We're called to be actively expanding the kingdom, not passively waiting for rescue. Understand the signs. Yeshua gave us specific signs so we would recognize the season of his return. This suggests he wanted us to understand the progression of events leading to his return. No one knows the day or the hour, but we can know the season of his return. And he specifically said in Matthew 24, 6 through 8, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. It's not the end, it's just the beginning of labor. If you know anything about pregnancy, when a woman goes to labor, it could be hours and sometimes 24 to 48 hours before that baby's born. It doesn't mean the baby's going to pop out like in the next 2 minutes. Early signs of labor pain described in this passage are merely the beginning of birth pains. And actually, it can appear from weeks to only an hour or two before active labor begins. Connecting this to God's time clock, where a day is 1,000 years, you can see that just because we have been witnessing the beginning of birth pangs does not mean imminent return. You get that? During the natural labor or natural birthing process, birth pangs can appear weeks before actual labor. So if these are just the beginning of birth pangs, it's not imminent return. There are other signs we must look for, and the one we are discussing today is the one where this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all nations, and then the end will come. Remember, the gospel of the cross is not the same as the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the cross is the first step to the gospel of the kingdom. Yes, the cross is very important. It's central. The blood of Jesus was shed that we might be kingdom citizens. But then once we're in the kingdom, there's so much more. Salvation and healing are just the beginning. There's so much more. So much more. Instead of living within any moment expectation, we should engage in long-term kingdom work. Invest in Bible translation projects. Build sustainable mission strategies. Develop generational discipleship programs. Work towards systemic justice and transformation. Prepare for prophesied challenges. Build strong, resilient faith communities. Develop support systems for persecuted believers. Create resource networks for times of difficulty. Train believers in biblical perseverance. Focus on kingdom expansion. Prioritize reaching unreached people groups. Establish kingdom-minded businesses and institutions. Develop cultural transformation strategies. Invest in next-generation leadership. Especially you fivefold ministers, we have to be raising up those who will take our place. We're not going to be here forever. We have to be training up the children to take over when they're adults. Amen. In conclusion, the any moment doctrine, while perhaps emotionally comforting, this doesn't align with Yeshua's clear teaching about the signs and sequences leading to his return. Rather than waiting for an imminent rescue, we're called to be active participants in fulfilling the prerequisites he established, particularly the preaching of the kingdom gospel to all nations. This understanding should energize rather than discourage us. We're not helpless spectators waiting for divine intervention. We're commissioned participants in preparing the way for his return. Our focus should be on the work before us, establishing his kingdom, making disciples of all nations, and preparing the world for his return through the proclamation and demonstration of the gospel of the kingdom. The end cannot come until the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the earth. The data shows we're still far from completing the Great Commission, particularly in sharing the full gospel of the kingdom. This should motivate us to be more strategic and intentional in our missions efforts, especially to unreached people groups. We need to focus not just on sharing the gospel of the cross, but on making disciples who understand and live out the gospel of the kingdom in all nations. Let us pray. Abba, Father, open our eyes to see beyond the personal salvation to the grandeur of your kingdom. Help us to be faithful ambassadors of Yeshua, demonstrating and declaring the full gospel of the kingdom. Make us people who bring heaven to earth through our words and actions. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. Well, I pray this message challenges you to be more kingdom-minded. As you do life this week, putting into practice kingdom principles and bringing the kingdom to your sphere of influence, may there be shalom in your home.